Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show whose only
all
mission
to
is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my
And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. I, like most women, have been on and off diets for many years, and just over about a year ago, I just want to briefly share a little bit of my story with you. A little over 10 years ago, I decided I wanted to change the way I eat. Yeah, I had been working on my spiritual and working on my mind and wanted to transition and work on how I eat. So I call myself becoming a semi-vegetarian, which I cut out all the red meats and I would only eat fish and chicken. And my plan was to be healthier, of course, but I didn't have a clue what that meant or what that looked like. I didn't realize that I was overloading my body with carbs. And so, of course, I gained weight. And in less than a year, I was diagnosed with diabetes. So I invited Rachel Moore back to the show to have a conversation about how to have a more holistic and healthier lifestyle. If you missed the last episode, please feel free to visit us here on Blog Talk Radio, and that's blogtalkradio.com/YPierre to check out our previous episode that I did with Rachel Moore, which was titled Holistic Tips for the Cold and Flu Season. And she gave a lot of great tips on there, and I'm really looking forward to having her on this episode. And to give you a brief introduction, Rachel Moore is a certified nutritional practitioner, missionary, and a recognized and accomplished speaker. She is currently developing a nonprofit organization focused on offering hope and healing through various holistic practices for restoration of spirit, mind, and body. Her genuine care and love for others is apparent through her most recent 5-month mission trip to Haiti and in her community where she has been involved with hundreds of youth. Rachel is currently in the final stages of completing her first book due to release spring of 2014. And I think there's no better time than now to talk about a healthier, eating healthy and a holistic lifestyle, because we're getting ready to go into 2014, and this is the time of year that most people start reflecting and thinking back over how they want to be healthier. So, Rachel, I want to welcome you back to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. As I mentioned earlier, I went through this whole health kick to improve my well-being, but I didn't have a clue. I had no idea that I was creating more damage to my health than I was helping it. So could you explain to us what a holistic lifestyle is?
Sure. Holistic life and health, it really upholds all aspects of a person. It includes such aspects as your psychological, your physical, your social, and your spiritual elements. An example might be how emotional stress can affect your eating and your digestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now what will, like say for example, you just said that how holistic foods can affect our digestive or the way we eat. Could you give an example of that?
How holistic foods can affect how we digest? Absolutely. Yep. When we're choosing healthier inputs of sources for fuel for our body on a biochemical level will respond. So we don't necessarily think of the foods when we eat as being fuel for our body, but essentially it is. What we put into our mouth either hinders or heals our body. So when we know the aspects of what we're eating, if we're eating something that's rich in fiber, rich in calcium and iron and magnesium, these different elements, vitamins and minerals, do certain things in your body. They have biochemical reactions. So some things help balance out your blood sugar level. Some things help pass waste. Some things help boost your immunity, X, Y, and Z. So each food that you do put into your body, especially in combination with other great foods, will help benefit your body to the maximum of abilities.
Now, you know, after years of eating, and I'll say for me, after years of eating and having an unhealthy lifestyle, how do we begin to prepare our bodies for the change? Prepare our bodies to start putting more healthier things in our system. Would you suggest a detox, fast, cleansing before we get started?
Well, I think education is the most important key here, because there isn't a carte blanche answer for that, unfortunately. Each person's individual toxic load may be different, and someone may benefit from a detox. Some may benefit from a fast and or a cleansing via supplementation, but it would really depend on the person, what they're supplementing with, what they're going to be alternating in their diet. So it's really about an individual scope of what that person's body is being assessed at today. So I think it really begins in the mind, setting your intention. So you right now we're taking a stance saying, okay, it's coming the end of the year, I'd like to do this, that, or the other. I really strongly recommend when people get to, especially this time of the year, because people tend to put on a lot of weight, they focus weight being a goal. And I'd like to help people transition their thinking into not focusing on weight per se, but health. If they transition their mind to focusing on health, the weight will be something that you reap as a benefit if it needs to come off. So focusing on health versus weight is one of the things that I recommend. Secondly, I think that creating yourself some short-term goals, attainable goals, and also having long-term goals. So a vision board can really help with that. I know it might sound a little cliche, or you've heard it and think that's very childish or whatever. I will tell you assuredly, I was in school a few years ago, and they suggested that we make one of these. It was actually part of a project that we had to do, and I thought, wow, what would that look like for me? So I started to dream a little, and I started to dream pretty big, and I was like, wow, if this can happen in the next few years, I would be eternally grateful. And I truly believe having that vision board that I got to see every day, it set my intentions to what am I doing to achieve that goal. If you set yourself a goal, but you stay in the same position, you're not moving towards your goal, then you're going to be starting to see that you're making yourself accountable, but how are you going to arrive if you're not walking, if you're not on the journey? So setting the vision board really helps remove some barriers and believe great things. It also, what that does is it releases chemical endorphins in your body, stimulating endorphins in your body, which thus, in turn, can help with healing as well.
I want to go back for one quick second, and then I want to move from there about focus. But one of the things that you touched on was that everybody is different. they may need to detox or cleanse, or it just depends on what. How do they know? How do they? What do you suggest, and how they find out what it is that their body would need as far as detoxing or the foods that will work for them?
Well, I strongly recommend, and not just because I'm a holistic practitioner, because as you are aware, I only do this by donation only. I do not charge for my services. But I strongly suggest getting connected with a group or a site or a practitioner that will help through this transition, because it really is a diagnostic, but it's an assessment of an individual person based upon their history, their eating, their sleeping, because all of these things synergistically work together. So, again, when we're looking at holistic health, we're not just focusing on Yvonne saying, okay, Rachel, I have diabetes, and that's showing up in high blood sugar, and I need to do X, Y. There are other things that could be factors, like water could be a factor for diabetes. The digestion process in your stomach could be a factor. There's so many different things that could be intricately connected that if you start treating the body as a whole, you will start to see results as a whole as well. So, again, I would suggest getting together with a holistic practitioner, a certified holistic practitioner, not someone who is a dietitian, not someone who just reads online, someone who's actually studied this on an orthomolecular level. As well as if you can't afford it, there are persons such as myself that do by donation only, or there's tons of information sites that you can find and you can do reading. It's just about being dedicated to your health. So you're going to have to read. You're going to have to start engaging in conversations, and you're going to have to be diligent to weed out prospects that may be just looking to sell products. But don't be alarmed by everybody who sells something, because there are good products out there. So don't write them off and say, well, they're just trying to sell their product. You know, you're going to have to take a detailed, you know, assessment of what their products are. And maybe what you go from that site is you read, and you just take that portion of it and say, okay, well, what is it in that product that they're suggesting? Again, not everything works for everybody, and at different stages, people need different therapeutic dosages. So for a detox, so let's just talk about the detox for a moment. A detox, with someone with very little education about a detox, they can go into a supplementation store, they can pull a detox, or they can even speak to someone there and get a detox. And what may happen when they go through the period of detox is that they will go through what is called or known as a healing crisis. And the healing crisis can actually bring up certain infections or bring up a certain amount of toxins into your body that your body is not able to eliminate as quickly as possible. So then you end up reabsorbing some of those things, and you can actually make yourself quite sick. So you have to be, I would have to know, well, how well is your elimination? Like, what is your urine output? How many times are you having a bowel movement? I want to know the color, shape, size of these things to know, are you passing what you're eating? Is your body digesting these things? I'd like to take a look at some blood work. I'd like to, there's certain things that I would like to say, yes, I think that you're in a stage where you could do a fast or you could do a detox. Fasting, most people could benefit from a fast, but there's some people who will go into a storage of fat during a fast because their body thinks they're starving. So again, it's not a one-fits-all answer for everybody. You need someone to take, it's not someone taking an X-ray of your body to see, I need to learn about Yvonne Pierre. I know this, the anatomy of the body, but I need to learn about Yvonne's anatomy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And that would, even like I was saying earlier, the diet that I call myself going on worked for somebody else. And in turn, I wound up becoming diabetic because my body is made up different, and that makes a lot of sense why some diets works for some and some doesn't work for other. But what we're talking about is more of a lifestyle change, and you touched on a lot of great points. One, educate yourself, get with a group, create a vision board, and to get an assessment to see what your body can, how your body would take to whatever it is you're transitioning, what would be the best transition for you. So my question is, how do, now that the holidays and everything, while we're talking about focus, how do we stay focused during the holidays?
Well, this is going to be tricky for some of us, but we all like a challenge. So we have to plan ahead. During the, you know, holidays, we're invited to so many gatherings, and at work, there's going to be people bringing in treats, and everywhere you go, there's going to be something offered to you. People are baking left, right, and center. So we have to plan ahead. And what I recommend and what I do personally is I eat before I go anywhere, and I make sure I eat longer grains, which means I'm going to be satiated for longer periods of time. And you and I had discussed this briefly before, is that even if I only anticipate being out for an hour, I still walk with my healthy snacks. So I've already planned and prepared that just in case my visit gets extended, I'm not going to be tempted to regress or take something that might hinder my path of where I'm trying to be. And so the other thing is that this has been a hit for me as well over the last 2-3 years, is that I typically like to prepare and bring a healthier choice alternative no matter where it is that I'm going. So if I'm bringing it just for myself as a snack, I might prepare a little bit more than for myself. And what that does is that offers an opportunity for me to share and have people participate in trying it. Or if you're invited to a potluck or a dinner party, et cetera, people are actually going to taste it. And what you're going to be able to do with that is you're going to be able to talk about the changes that you're making. You're going to actually reinvigorate why you're making these changes. This is what you've come across. This is a dish that you found that you like. Most people, if you like it, will probably like it. You'll get the odd person and say, oh, you know why? Because their taste buds are still hung up on sugar and salt. But you're going to be saying, well, this is great for me. It really works for me, and I love it. Then you're going to get someone who comes along and is going to be so encouraged by the progression that you've made that you're going to receive encouragement from them and you're going to be encouraging them. And then they're going to want to know the recipe, and then you're going to say, oh, my gosh, it's so simple. It only took me like 20 minutes. I know. I didn't know. And then what you do is you create a little bond of somebody and say, you know what, I'd love to hear more about this. And you create this kind of atmosphere. Well, now you have a friend who is saying, hey, I'd like to be interested. I'm interested in this as well. Where can I go to read more about it? And then you have... You know, you create a support group, even within your own circle, and that's what's wonderful. I also target myself when I'm talking about planning ahead, is saying, okay, I know there's some times when there's just something that I see, especially if it says, okay, it's vegan, I made this person, I knew you were coming, but Rachel, during this time, is not doing any sugar because I'm doing a parasite cleanse or I'm doing a candida detox. And they're like, oh, my God, but I made this for you, it's vegan and it's gluten-free. So now I'm like, oh, my gosh, they went out of their way. They found a recipe. They made something. They're so ecstatic. So I do allow myself a treat. Some people might call it a cheat, but, again, we're not disciplining ourselves, so let's call it a treat. But I also set my limits. I set my limits to I will have a small portion, and I set myself up already saying if it's, you know, what's a small portion? Well, the benefits are going to be mine to take. So say if they made me a pretty big piece, and I'd say, oh, my gosh, I appreciate that, and I will cut off a small sliver of something, and I will graciously accept the rest of the gift, and then I will give it to somebody else. But I will definitely partake in it and enjoy that moment with them and be so grateful for the time and effort that they've put into it. But I will already plan myself to say I'm only having a small bite. And I don't even need to go into the, well, I'm on a parasite cleanse right now, or I'm on another detox right now, so I can't do it. I've already set that in my mind to say I will have a small bite of it. And just to say, oh, my gosh, it's delicious. Thank you so much for thinking of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the event that you fall off your track, I can only reiterate, get back up. Don't give yourself the free rein to say, well, I said I was only going to have one bite and I had like a whole slice. So I might as well go ahead and have the punch, and I might as well go ahead and have the coffee with the cream, and I might as well go ahead and have X, Y, and Z. This is where you will undo weeks full of work.
Yeah.
In one sitting, one evening, you can undo, you can create so much damage that you've done so well 6 or 7 days of the week. On the seventh day, you fall and you say, well, this is my treat Sunday. And then the whole entire Sunday, you just eat whatever you want. Literally, you will blow out the 6 days of work. You could, potentially, and even create more of a problem for yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Set yourself a plan, set yourself some limits, and if you do slip off, make sure to very quickly say, oh, my gosh. And I will assure you, when you start eating clean, when you do fall off, you will pay that consequence, whether it be a headache, a stomach ache, quick run to the bathroom, et cetera. You will pay that consequence. And so it's just about remembering you're going to reap the benefits or consequences of whatever your choices are. So you don't have to worry about anybody else except yourself. And the only person that you're needing to live up to is yourself. So if you made that commitment to yourself, then do your best to have an accountability partner or a support partner, X, Y, and Z. But if you filled out before you went, the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim to none. And if you've also brought a healthier alternative snack that you like, that's pretty, it's not, probably not going to happen.
One of the things that you touched on, too, is the mindset. And I want to talk about that for a moment. With anything that we try to change, it starts first in the mind. So how do you suggest we create a mindset of a healthier lifestyle?
Well, the same way we control what we put in our mouth, we control what we put in our mind. So it's about reading more, staying connected, being educated. So read online, get articles, get things that are promoting this healthier lifestyle. Get into the trudges of it, because what you put in, you're going to be able to. The same with TV. Like, you can watch TV and some programs are great. You can watch some are garbage. But it's about whether or not you turn the channel or not. If you still stay on that garbage channel, that's what you're putting in your mind. And so if you don't change what you're putting in your mind, it's going to be very difficult to change your mindset about certain things. So you're going to have to start getting involved. And I find that read, because the more you read, the more you're going to hear a base streamline of things that are truth. You're going to see some right-wing things. You're going to see some left-wing things. You're going to see some things you're really a little bit confused about. But you're going to see a baseline of truth that just comes bursting through, through and through, and it's going to definitely speak volumes to you. And that part is going to help educate you, it's going to help invigorate you, and it's going to help support you in your healthier mindset.
Now, things, you know, I personally, Rachel, I personally met no women, you know, when I've been through my health kick, and of course when you learn new things you want to share it, and you it comes up in conversation. And over the years I've spoken with women who are you know, on the healthy path too, but are parents, and they may not take their they may cook separate meals for their kids, unhealthy food for their children, but they'll eat the healthy food. And one of the people I asked them, well, why, you know, are they cooking a separate food? And they were saying that they don't want their child to miss out on foods that they grew up on, or they want it to be a decision that they make when they're older. But why is it important for us to start our children out at an early age living a healthier lifestyle?
Well, number one, I think the most important thing is when we did touch back earlier on everything we put into our mouths and either hinders and heals. It's the food, it's the fuel for our bodies. Our food is our fuel for our bodies. So eating a healthier lifestyle helps build a stronger immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And today I realize we're faced with greater challenges due to the processing and the quick foods, the Lunchables, and everything has high fructose corn syrup or the amounts of sugar and sodium in things. So I realize today we're faced with a greater challenge because our lifestyles have become so busy. And unfortunately, we very much succumb to this, I really just need something in a pinch, and I really just need something now. And my my kids, unfortunately, because we've been exposing them to such fast foods and fried foods and foods with high amounts of sodium and sugar, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's what their palates are used for. It's going to take a time for them as well. So there are sites and there are places where you can get healthy, fun recipes for your kids. So maybe just start it as an integrative day where you say, okay, today we're going to make something healthier today. And we don't even focus on the word even healthier. I mean, incorporate that when you're eating carrots, guess what? Carrots contain vitamin A. Vitamin A is so good for your eyes. So maybe so cut up your carrots and make little faces with them and then put your dip in the middle or whatever the case may be. Try to find healthier dips. Make a healthier dip. Maybe, you know, use carrots and celery and pull the strings of the celery and make hair. And so make your experience with your healthier foods for your children fun. And that's for very small children. As they get older, especially if they're teens, which I do have teens, I tell them they're old enough where they can make their own meals. So up until the point where they were both working, I still prepared meals. However, I stopped personally preparing meat because I personally have a problem with meat, and I just don't think our bodies are built to process meats. I think we're built more like herbivores. And I said to my kids, I will teach you how to prepare meats. I will show you where you can buy healthier meats so they're not filled with steroids, hormones, et cetera. And I'll even allocate a portion of the food budget to that because I don't expect them to necessarily pay for it. But I'm no longer going to be handling those foods. So I will help you if that's what you want to do. And I find that because my kids have grown up in the very I want you to do everything for me, and they're almost 20 and 17 now, I realize that if they really wanted meat, they would cook it, and they don't. So what happens, they end up eating the foods that I prepare. And over a very long time, they just turn around, and they absolutely enjoy the foods that are being prepared. Now, if they're out, they still like their foods as their treats, and they still do indulge in, you know, fried foods and fast foods, et cetera. But at home, they also know this is the way that I cook, this is the way that I eat, and these are the groceries that I supply in the home. And eventually, especially if they're old enough, if you have a job, brother, feel free to go out and buy your own garbage that you want to and bring it in and cook it up. I even bought them their own set of pans. They don't have to use my pans. Feel free. You have the money to go and do it. Go ahead. I'm okay with that. And that's part of acceptance. Of the fact that they may not make all of the decisions that I've made, and I'm open to receiving that. However, I'm not going to adhere to, well, Mom, you've got it. No, I don't have to make anything, to be very honest. Now, if your children are younger, you do. So you're going to have to be a little more patient and, like I said, be integrative. So start off with substituting something in your home and keep making that transition. Add another thing and add another thing. And you may face some resistance. It's about challenging the resistance versus the benefit. The benefits of what you're doing versus the little bit of resistance. A lot of people don't like change, especially when you're playing with their palate.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that helped me with transitioning, I'm still in a transition, I heard someone say that by the time it passed your tongue, you don't taste it anymore. So we're really just eating for taste. And there's healthy ways to eat to fulfill that without making it unhealthy. And the thing, too, like with my kids, I wanted them, of course, they have the option to, of course, there's some resistance, but I think it's easier if you teach them the right things to eat once they do get older and make the decision to transition into eating more healthier or want to be more healthier, it's not going to be as hard for them as it is, per se, for me when I wasn't exposed to that type of eating.
Absolutely. And I love what you just touched on there. And that's a great point. For the amount of time the food sits in your mouth for you, your taste buds to woohoo, and the amount of time that it actually processes through your body, it's 95-99% what it does through your body and the effects that you're going to have based upon that. So it's, again, that's part of education as being a parent, is that we understand that we cannot just feed the lusts of our tongue, like the flesh of our tongue, and say, oh, this tastes so good. This tastes so good. This tastes so good. But let me assure you, I do eat delicious tasting food. Because you're eating healthy does not mean you just need to eat sticks of carrots and celery and kale. You will find when you remove things from your diet and your cooking, you will find a whole new world of flavors that you didn't know existed because they were overpowered by the processing, et cetera. You'll find that foods that I remember eating a peach, my gosh, I remember eating a peach after coming off a candida diet for about 4 months. I swear to you, I felt like my teeth were going to fall out. I felt like it had so much sugar, I didn't even think I could finish the whole peach.
Mm. Yeah.
That's because my body was never not overwhelmed with the amount of sugar that it actually could taste the fructose from the fruit. When I ate a strawberry like the next week or whenever it was like this strawberry was like a delicacy. I just could not believe how sweet and delicious. And I was like, wow, I don't ever recall just feeling the sensation and smelling and tasting fruits as I did that day or that week.
Yeah.
And so now my foods are rich and full of flavor and they're delicious. And let me assure you, I invite people over for dinner and people are like, I thought you didn't eat. I said, that's not cheese. That's not meat. That's nuts. Like I make nut cheese and people are like, that's cheese? I mean, that's nuts. So I make different things, and people are like, wow, or like I'll cook pasta, and it's made out of brown rice or quinoa, and people are like, I thought you don't eat pasta. I'm like, I don't eat traditional pasta, but I do eat a form of. And they're like, I could eat this. Like, how much is this? I'm like, it might be 60 cents more than what you pay now. They're like, I would buy that. And I said, that's my point. So when you prepare, and you learn to prepare, and it takes time. I'm not going to lie to you. It takes time to learn how to bring these elements together and put them together so they work. And cooking takes, you know, different aspects because most things only take about 15, 20 minutes. So a lot of preparation, hand washing, you have to shop two times, three times a week opposed to shopping for a month. So it takes, like you said earlier, a lifestyle change. And when you make those changes and you start reaping the benefits because biochemically your body's saying, yes.
And then
when you have a little cheat and your body's saying, ouch, then it's going to be more about whether or not you want to stay with the yes team or you want to continue to torture yourself. And I truly believe that we educate ourselves and we get connected and we share our journeys with other people. We receive the encouragement that we need. And we're able to be an encouragement to others.
Oh, wow. You said a mouthful. Before we go, and as always, it's great information, and I'm sitting back taking notes and absorbing it because that's something that I want, that I'm right now, like you're saying, it doesn't happen overnight, but I'm transitioning. I've cut out sugar, and I eat more and I'm still learning more about processed sugar and which ones are the best and stuff like that. And then you also offer, you have a Facebook page called Love to Live, mm-hmm. and it's actually a group, and you'll be posting recipes or something on there?
Yes, and what I'm going to do within the next week is I'm going to put together some alternative recipes. So I know desserts are people's favorites, so I'm going to post up some healthier dessert alternatives as well as a few dishes that you might be able to bring to a potluck or a family gathering, et cetera. Try them at home first. Make sure you like them, et cetera. But I'm going to post those up because I know this can be a challenge. And so for some people and they're going to be basic. They're not going to be really overwhelming. I'm going to try to keep them as simple as possible. And I love recipes that are 20 minutes and under. So that's you can, you know, pretty much be assured that when you go to that page, unless you're baking something, because I use my pulp for my juicing, And they also use the pulp from making almond milk, et cetera, to make crackers and baked breads and muffins, et cetera. Outside of that, pretty much everything I do is 20 minutes and under.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, what words of encouragement would you like to leave for those of us who want to transition into being healthier?
Again, it starts in your mind. So believe in yourself that you can achieve the goals that you have in your mind. It does take time. But most importantly, when you're transitioning, you're making these transitions, listen to your body. Your body will speak to you. You will know, yes, this works for me. No, this doesn't work for me. There isn't a carte blanche, one-fits-all answer for everybody. Get connected with somebody. If you have some questions, you can connect with me on Love to Live, the Facebook page, or you can email me at lovetolivewithrachelmoore@live.com.
Rachel, again, as always, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I want to wish you continued success and blessings on your journey, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Powers multiply. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you, I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.